Damn, dude, look at all your medals. Everybody I talk to, everybody I have on the podcast has a showcase of some sort, except for me.
Well, you got to have the Olympic participation medals. Come on now.
No, but I mean, I have medals. I'm saying I don't have them. Like, I never did anything like a neat case for them. No. I just had Terrence Ruffin on the podcast. He said, okay, tell me what are the ones on the left? Those are participation?
Right here, all yeah. Olympia medals from 2000 to 2010.
You did it 10 times, eh?
11.
11 times. Good for you. What's on the other side?
There's from Dorian Yates' medals. There's GNC, bodybuilding.
Don't you have a third place Olympia trophy there?
No, I got a fourth place.
Oh, you got fourth place.
Yes, I got third that year.
Yes, you got third. Who was second that year? Jay?
Jay.
And then Ronnie won. who was fifth place? Do you remember?
Yeah, Gunter Sveerkamp.
Damn, man, you were fourth place at the Olympia. And I think people forget.
Sixth, Kevin Larone.
I think people forget that you were all the way up to fourth place.
Yeah. You know what? I forget sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, because fourth place at the Olympia, I mean, that year I was top four in the world. That's, you know, I sometimes look back and I was like, yeah. You did all right, man. You did all right. You know, all the bullshit you had to go through, but you did all right.
Isn't it hard, like, when you're actually in the sport, you forget that to, like, pat yourself on the back?
Yeah, you forget because you work with so many others and you look at other people's success and you're happy for other people.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you're done.
And you sometimes forget that you went through all this by yourself. You know. That's why I always tell guys, even guys that I work with, that you don't have to tell me what you feel like a week out, 2 weeks out, a month out. I know exactly what's in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's a lot easier to understand how to work with, how to treat some people sometimes because you know what they're going through, you know?
I just find it really interesting that it's almost like you're two different people. Like, not you, but bodybuilders. Like, when we're in it, we have no idea. We have no concept of how we actually look. But then when you're out of it, it's like you're removed from it and you look back and you right. go, holy shit, I think I looked pretty good back then. And you just don't realize it when you're actually in it.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's like a totally...
Yeah. I mean, and you know, at the time, most of the times you look at your own pictures and you just don't like your shit.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't ever look.
You take 100 pictures and you find one or two that you're like, okay, you know? But then 10 years after retirement, when you look back... You're like, you weren't really that bad. You just weren't happy, but you weren't really that bad. So I guess some, you know, the pictures that I didn't like 15 years ago, I can look at them today and I can see, you know, I can see what was going on.
It's crazy though. It's not even for me. It's not even 15. It's like, I just finished a prep. And at the time I remember looking at photos like 5 weeks out or whatever. And I was like, I thought all of them looked like shit.
Yeah.
And right now I look back and I'm like, I was a lot better than I thought I was.
Yeah. So yeah. But you really... know what? I prefer that than people that think they look better than they really do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I'd rather, you know, rather somebody says, I don't like myself.
Yeah.
Because once you get cocky, you know, and you don't have the right to, you know, that makes it even worse. You know?
Yeah. So you've been retired for how long, Dennis?
10 years last in September.
Doesn't seem like 10 years, man.
2010 Olympia. I said, peace out.
And what are
I did come back like 2012 for the Masters though, but that was just one day.
Are you completely happy, satisfied, or is there ever a time where you're like, I wish I could still do it one more time?
No. I'm completely at peace with myself.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, I mean, you see Cameron LeBron coming back, you see Fritz Wheeler trying to make a comeback or made a comeback. That never crossed my mind at all. But I told myself, and you know why? Because I find out real early. Yeah. I decided in 2010, this is it. You know, because you know how it is. Once you know, you're not contented anymore. There's no more. I'm not competing with the top. Yeah. So what am I doing? Am I just doing this because I have nothing better to do? Yeah. Am I doing this because I still believe I can do it? Or, you know, is it time to hang it up? You know, and it's just the way I decided for myself. I said, listen. You came in healthy, you're going to get out healthy. Yeah. So what better way to do it?
Yeah.
And then, and I literally just stopped for a year and a half, almost, or maybe a little more than a year and a half. And at the, I don't know if you remember that, at the press conference, 2012, September, at the press conference, Bob brought it up, hey, there's a Masters in December. That was 11 weeks before the Masters.
Yeah.
Why don't you jump in, man, and do the Masters? There's a lot of money at stake.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, nah, man, I'm done, you know. And somehow we got the crowd involved. I said, let the crowd decide. The crowd went nuts, said, do it. Yeah. I said, okay. And I started training. It's, as soon as I came back from Vegas, from the Olympia, I had 11 weeks to do the Masters.
Yeah.
And then I compared pictures because I was about the same weight I was as when I last competed.
Yeah.
And I put the pictures next to each other.
No.
It's a total different body with the same body weight.
Isn't that crazy?
When you're fresh and full, you look 20 pounds heavier than on the other. And that saved me from ever thinking about another comeback.
Yeah, you're right. The same 255 is not the same 255 from 5 years earlier.
Yeah. It's crazy. See it. You know, and I get it every day. Oh, you still look so fresh. Your skin is still so good. Yes. But not for to be standing on stage with the best of the best.
Yeah, different level. Yeah. Yeah. So in that year and a half, though, in between the Masters and when you retired, was there anything, or when you hung it up, you were just like, I'm done, I'm good, I'm happy? Or did you always have that? Did you have anything in that first year you were done?
No, I completely stopped everything.
Yeah.
So for me, it was over. No more competition. There's no need for me to run gear to do anything.
Yeah.
Not even TRT. I didn't do anything.
Really?
Totally.
How did you
cold turkey?
How did you go cold turkey? How did you get? How were you able to function with like zero test? How'd you get your own test back?
I tell you, you know what? And I've done this until 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I kept doing it because I said, listen, you know, my test levels was, I mean, totally low.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any symptoms.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't feel like, you know, I mean, I can always sleep. It's not like I'm tired, but I can always, I want to turn on the TV, I go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't have like, you know, because I remember when I did blood work once and the doctor really asked me, you get emotional easy?
Because you have the test level of a fucking six-year-old girl, that's why.
Yeah, I said, no, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I did some research. And, you know, I know low test level is not healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But I kind of want to protect myself from myself.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. You saw me. I didn't lose weight.
Yeah.
I didn't crash.
Yeah.
I didn't look like I'm off the gear. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know? I just trained, you know, not even close to the intensity that I used to do, but I just trained. And I ate my meals, you know? And I stayed big for 10 years.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for my shoulder surgery and for my wrist, my broken wrist last year or 2 years ago, yeah, I would probably still be 260, 265.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was my normal weight. Now I'm 240. This is my weight with three meals.
Yeah.
And you know, I try to bring it down to 220. It's not possible.
Yeah. You're only eating three meals a day right now?
Four. On a good day, I get four.
And you're still holding 240. And you look great.
240.
And you're not on... I can't believe you just went on nothing. No tests, no nothing. And you're...
I did, like 4 months ago, I started hormone replacement.
That's all this time is crazy.
All this time, when you saw me still 260, 270,
yeah.
And the years late, I was clean.
What about nothing? No GH, no nothing?
I did GH one time for a couple of weeks. I didn't. I was tired of remembering to do something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, for me, it was always, after shows was always a good time where I can just stop all this shit because I was tired of poking my shit.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. That's funny because the people listening are, you know, a lot of young people listen and they're excited about doing gear. They don't realize that at our level, the worst thing in the world is having to do the gear. Like I can't, the last 4 weeks before a show, I'm like, I'm just like, I can't wait till this is over so I can stop doing shots. Yeah. And I was
like this all year, even in off-season.
Yeah, I talked to Branch about it. Branch said to me that he was always 100% with his food and with his training. The only thing he wasn't 100% with is he would forget to do a shot here and there.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way. I would get it ready, and then I'm like, I just don't want to do it. And it would go like 2 or 3 days, and I would forget to do it. And so
Weeks. I said, tomorrow. Weeks. Yeah. I remember when I was – Milos can confirm this because he was all he trying to behind me to make sure I do my shots.
Yeah,
I was like, I was missing left and right.
Yeah.
He had to literally come and give it to him because I don't poke myself. I didn't like it. So I didn't want to put nothing in the ass. I never put nothing in the shoulders. So I always put it in my lats. But somebody had to do it for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So unless somebody's doing it, it's not getting done.
Yeah. Did you ever that's crazy that you said that. I always felt like wherever I put it, that muscle functioned the worst. And I never ever did my lats. And then one year, a long time into my career, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start using my lats. And I started using my lats. And then probably 3 months or 4 months after I started using my lats, I tore my teres major.
Really?
And I don't know if it's related to the shot.
Yeah.
But my back. It
could be, but not necessarily. I just believe that whatever you use the glutes. First of all, you create too much scar tissue. There's no more striations. You see nowadays, where do you see striated shoulders?
Yeah.
You know already. If somebody comes with striated shoulders, you know he's not blasting his shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
100%, you know? And that's just why I did it for probably 10 years. The last 10 years, I did nothing but the lats. And this, what it does is, it helped me to get the flats that was flaring on that part.
Yeah, you know,
because you get that little bit of scar tissue. There's nothing you can do about it.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know, who expects striations at the side of your lats? So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know, you're right. So what about, were you genetically a big guy before you started? Because
yes.
Okay, that's why. So when did you start bodybuilding?
1992.
And you're how old?
26.
Oh, you started late.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. I didn't know that. Why so late? Yeah.
I did. Let me go back. I did start training one time when I was 19. I started, no, not, not, how old was I? Yeah, 1985. Mm-hmm. I started in March in March. And I competed in October in a junior show and won the overall. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. Yeah. And then stopped immediately because I couldn't go through the German nationals because I wasn't German. Back then, there was no international championships.
Yeah, yeah.
So I stopped. It was a 6 month thing, and that was it.
Were you?
And then I did not train until May 92.
Sorry to interrupt. Were you taking any gear at that time, or were you natural?
No.
So you're totally natural at that show?
Nothing. Natural, yes.
Okay. Was there any
pictures?
Is there any photos online?
You see the pictures with my curly long hair, kind of?
One second. What year was it?
86.
I got to see this.
85 or 86?
Let me see if I can find it.
Hold on. Let me see if I find it.
I want to see if this is it. One second.
It's a most muscular and one I'm down on my knees.
This side. This is 94.
Okay. No. This is 94. That's
look at
after.
That. Look at that hair, though. I didn't know you with hair.
Bro, I had hair like go down.
Oh wait, this one right here. What's this one?
Exactly.
This is
me natural after 6 months of working out.
This is you natural?
Yes.
Fuck, Dennis. This is nuts, man.
I kid you not. This is me natural.
This is crazy.
And there's another one. There got to be another one, the most muscular.
Yeah, maybe I can find it. But that's insane to think. And you're 19 years old here.
Yeah.
Okay. So now. See, I like that because now it makes sense now that you're – how old are you now?
54, going on 55.
You're 54. You still look amazing. I think – I mean, that's a testament to genetics because if you look like this at 19,
naturally. I got to give it to my parents, though.
Yeah, man,
for sure. I mean, if you see my dad, he just turned 81 a couple of days ago. If you look at him, you'll never believe he's 81.
Yeah. So after that, you stopped bodybuilding. Then why did you start again?
Because it was a $100 bet. I was already in Thailand. I'm living in Thailand. I went there 1990 on vacation, 2 weeks. You know, ended up staying 15 years. Mm-hmm. And ended up basically with a career as a pro, as an Olympian. I came back from Thailand.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened was, we used to go out every night. You ever been to Thailand?
No.
Okay, but you probably heard Thailand. It's a crazy place.
Yeah, yeah.
And back then. Maybe today not as much, but back then it was just crazy. You're young. So we hang out in the go-go bars, getting drinking at night. And there was this guy from Germany, from Europe a lot, Sweden, Denmark, mm-hmm. you know, tanked out meatheads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So and I knew I had good genetics.
Yeah.
So one night, you know, half drunk, or maybe not even half drunk, totally drunk. I told this one dude, I said, man, because he was walking around like his shit didn't stink.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, man, to look like you would take me less than 3 months. Yeah. Or 3 months, some similar. I mean, it was 3 months.
Yeah.
And he said, man, and you know, that killed his ego, right? Yeah. So he said, there's no way you can look like me. I said, man, 3 months, $100. Yeah. Boom. The next day I started going to the gym with him. It was a little hole in the wall in Thailand. Yeah. That's where I started training. And 6 weeks later, he paid me.
Oh, fuck.
I was just doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
And training. I had no idea. I didn't really have
any experience. Did you start taking anything or no?
Not in the beginning. It took, listen, that was 1992. I started this. And that was May 92. October 93, I'm on stage at the Universe.
Yeah.
In England. Yeah. The original Nava Universe.
Yeah.
And that show, I took one dagger and one suster a week.
Like the
that was my first cycle, my first ever cycle. People still don't believe me to this day, but yeah. Why would I make this shit up?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
You know, what benefits do I have by telling people yeah. I got fourth on the Universe with a Susta and a Deca a week?
So you were training. So you were only training for a year before you did the Universe.
A little over a year, yeah.
Yeah, because so you started in 92 and then you're on stage the Universe in 93.
But let me tell you how I got there. I didn't plan on competing.
Yeah.
I was basically training, and I won the $100, and you know, I kind of like working out. So I was just literally training to look good at the beach. Because we went to the beach all day, hung out, and then at night we went out to the clubs, right? So that was my thing. And one day, I'm at the beach, and there's this guy from Germany. I didn't know him at that time, but I met him there. And he says, he looked at me and says, hey, man, in German, what show are you getting ready for? I said, I'm getting ready for the Go-Go Bar tonight, man. What you talking about? So he says, because he was a very close friend to, at that time, the world president of the NABBA.
Yeah, NABBA, yeah, yeah.
Klaus Hoffmann. So he's also from Germany. He said, man, I want you to meet him. So I said, all right, next time I'm in Germany to visit, I'll stop by and I'll meet him.
Yeah.
And it was about May 93. May 93, I'm in Germany to see my parents. And I call this guy. I meet him up in Gießen. He brings this guy. He comes in with a VCR back then still.
Yeah.
Tape.
Yeah, yeah.
And he pushes the tape, puts the tape in. Now, I was already buff. I was, I was about 225.
Yeah.
Lean. 230.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Off.
Yeah, yeah.
So he puts his tape in, and on the tape is Mustafa Mohammed. You remember that guy from Jordan?
Yeah, yeah.
He had just won the 1992 European Championship, World Championship, and Universe in 1 year.
Okay.
So he puts the tape in and shows his routine and looks at me and says, would you be able to compete with him? I thought he was joking. I had no idea. I said, yeah, of course. So this is a true story. I couldn't even make this up.
Yeah.
So he says, I invite you to compete at the Universe. Now, keep in mind, I'm American. I'm not German. Yeah. He's the world president, but also the president for the team in Germany.
Yeah.
He said, all I want you to do is I want you to compete at our Night of Champions, they call that show. This is like the qualifier for the national team to go to the Universe.
Yeah.
And then if you are good enough, we'll bring you along to the Universe. I said, what time do you want me to be there? That's exactly what I said, because I still believed he was bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
So after he left, I told the guys that he was joking, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, man, he's serious. And I remember saying, man, I'm going to get back to the gym. You know, I'm in Germany at this point, so I need to go back to Thailand because that's where I was training.
Yeah.
And I remember I had a friend from Italy. His name is Gian Piero Colucci. He was the only one I knew who was a competitor in Italy before. Mm-hmm. Had a nice body, you know, and I kind of looked up to him because I thought he knew what to do. So I asked him, how do I diet for a show? He said, turkey, pasta, pineapple. Sounds so stupid, but I swear I ate nothing but turkey, pasta, and pineapple as much as I could. There was no measuring how much. He didn't tell me you have to cut your carbs and you don't. Yeah, I was just eating as much as I could.
Yeah, yeah.
Pasta, fucking plate full of pasta, pineapple on top, mix it, and turkey.
Yeah.
And that's what I ate for, I don't know, from that time, June, all the way to October.
Yeah.
I had striated glutes. I had cross striated triceps. I had all that stuff that wasn't really famous back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only thing I didn't have was a posing routine because how the fuck do you pose?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you watch the you know, videos and stuff, but you don't. I said, listen, you know what? I was a break dancer.
Yeah.
I said, I'm just going there and pop lock. This video's out there. This video's out there. I did the qualifier, the German Knight of Champions, which was the qualifier for the national team. So I basically just went there, and I was not, they weren't judging me. They just let me compete with them. Mustafa Mohammed was the guest poser that day.
Yeah.
So they basically, I did my competition with the guys. They asked for more. I had to come out two more times, do my routine, because I was pop locking. I had that whole, I tore that whole roof off the building. And then they brought me along to the universe the following week. Now, keep in mind, I'm representing the United States. I have never met anyone in the United States. Bob Gruskin was the president.
Yeah.
And he just passed away not too long ago. Bob Gruskin, you probably heard of him.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a NABBA president. So I literally, Joe DeAngelis, does it ring a bell?
Yes, it does, but I don't know him, but I recognize the name.
He was also on the American team, and there was a few others. So when the universe started, and they brought all the teams out, so I was walking with a team, and I had no idea who these guys are. They didn't know me. I didn't know them.
Yeah.
And I was the only one that plays. This was basically my first show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I got fourth. Dennis Francis from England won the universe that year.
And you got fourth.
I got fourth.
Eating turkey, pineapple, and pasta.
And pasta. And that motivated me in 93. I got fourth. Motivated me. I said, I'm going to come back next year. And I came back in 94 for the very same show. I got second.
Yeah.
And then I came back the third year in 95 and won it.
95 Night of Champions, or 95 Universe.
NABBA Universe, 1995.
I want to see if I can find that.
You'll find it. You'll find my posing routine, too.
1995 Universe. Dennis James posing routine. Holy shit. I got 96.
Oh, 96? That was...
No,
that
wait.
Was,
I got 90, I got 95 too. One sec.
96, I was a pro. Now I'm a pro.
Dude, look at how shredded you are. What the fuck? I gotta watch this fucking liquor ad first. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah,
that was good times, man. I had no idea what I was doing, basically.
Isn't that crazy, man? And then sometimes you overcomplicate shit. You make it worse.
Exactly.
Look at this.
Watch it. When I run out of poses, watch what I do.
I wonder what this sounds like. One sec. I'm gonna turn the mic. That's fucking awesome, dude. So you just went out breakdancing. How long did you practice your posing to learn to, like, at this point, how long had you practiced posing?
I didn't practice posing. I was just going out there. I had, only thing I knew, I had my music. That was it.
Well, no, I remember.
If I would practice posing, and this was later too, I would keep changing it. Every time I get tired, I would get bored, and I would change it up again, and I would change it up again. So I just listened to the music, and I just went out and did whatever I felt.
Hey, can I ask you a question I've always wondered about?
Sure.
One second. I need to. Okay. Do you see this mark in your chest here?
Yeah, those two muscles. Yeah,
always,
muscles. Yeah.
I've always wondered.
Always been there, even really? As a kid.
Are you serious? Yeah. I've always serious, wondered what that is. I'm like, did Dennis...
People accuse me of putting Syntho there. Think about this.
I thought, you, like...
Look, 1993, I didn't know what Syntho was.
I'm like, I think Dennis got implants. I'm like,
That's even worse. No, this is a muscle. You will only see it when I get lean.
Yeah.
This was a year later, that the pro universe, because I turned pro by winning the universe.
Dude... What do you think the difference is between 90s and 2000? And I want to look
at the difference from 93 to 94. I mean, from 95 to 96.
I know that. It's insane. So yeah. What I want to ask you is, you know, there's a huge debate about guys don't get conditioned anymore, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's conditioning as much as it is separation. But what do you think drugs play a part? Because I know back in this day, like when you were competing at this time, you know how it was. It was all pharmacy shit.
Yes.
And now it's a lot of underground shit. And I'm like, I mean, we can be honest with each other. Do you think that's a big part of it?
I think it is, yes.
Because I'm like...
I think it's not only because it's not pharmaceutical, because they would be able to do that shit with pharmaceutical stuff too. It's just I think it's just people just use too much.
Oh, you think it's you
too
don't
much.
Think it's...
I think you use too much, you create too much scar tissue, and you just get too puffy.
So you don't think it's the quality of the gear, you think it's just the amount of gear.
I think it's the quality all around. It's the quality of gear. It's the quality of the diet and the training. Yeah. I just think it's just different. It's all more puffy now. You know, people don't pay attention to detail. Nobody cares. Back then, we had striated shoulders. We had striated everything.
But I think in the 90s, you didn't have to be as blasting full. It was more like when a judge judged, they would judge more based on separation, conditioning, how hard the athlete was, maybe not necessarily how full the muscle was.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you would have been full back then, you would have stood out too.
Yeah.
So back then, but everybody was conditioned. So today, it's not like the top 10 are all super conditioned. I mean, you find two or three of them in the whole lineup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And back then, everybody was conditioned. Now, who is the fullest? Who is the fullest? Who is the guy with the best proportion? Because everybody was in shape. Yeah. Back then, striated chest, like what you saw on Hadi Chipman last year, that was normal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That was normal. The only thing that wasn't normal always was cross-striated quads because not everybody can get it.
Yeah. But I think, but isn't it kind of like the judge's fault because they start rewarding guys for being rounder?
This is exactly what I had that conversation the other day where I said, what do you expect from the guys? I mean, if somebody that's winning the Olympia is not 100% conditioned, why would I go for condition?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go, I'm going to go to chase him. And if I chase him, I have to chase him at his own game.
Well,
if he's not 100% conditioned and he's full, then I have to go for fullness too.
Yeah, because I think people were chasing Ronnie because Ronnie was so big. Even though Ronnie was,
I know about that.
Even though Ronnie, I know you do. But even though Ronnie was that big, he was also conditioned.
Yes.
But I think guys couldn't get close to that big and conditioned, so they just tried to get big and they sacrificed some of the condition.
Yeah, you know yourself, the bigger you get, the harder it is to get really, really shredded.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's hard to get lean. It's hard to be full. It's hard to be tight.
Yeah.
But to be separated and big, to, you know, to find that combination of dryness and fullness, you know, most of the times you're going to sacrifice something.
Yeah.
You know, Ronnie was just a different specimen. And I don't think it had anything to do with who he coaches. It's just... Ronnie was different.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a different breed. You saw Ronnie in off season. He wearing tights. He had veins on his legs the size of my fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And on another note, he worked his ass off. Ronnie was doing cardio 2 hours a day.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we'll get back to that. But so 96, when did you get your pro card?
What, 96, I did the, it's a funny story too. 96, I did the Nava Pro. And then my goal was, I wanted to be, now I got the fever, the bodybuilding fever, you know, but I'm Nava. Yeah. I'm flying to England from Germany to the universe and I'm buying the Flex magazine at the airport so I can read it on the plane. And I'm looking at 1993 Flex Wheeler winning the Arnold Classic. And I'm like, wow. How can somebody look like that? You know what I mean? Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And then, so 97. So after I did the Pro Nava Universe, which is the only pro show they have. There's no other pro show.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, I need to switch over to the IFBB.
Yeah.
This is where it's at. So, but I said, what am I going to do? I'm a U.S. citizen. I said, I have two options. I can compete in the international world championships.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can go to the U.S. and do the USA's or do the Nationals. There were two shows where you get pro cards. There was two pro cards a year.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the USA's and the Nationals. There was no 500 pro cards.
40. That's how Canada was too, man. It's like
so
one
I
pro
said,
card.
You know, I said to myself, what am I going to do? I said, you know what? I'm going to America. That's exactly what I said. I all I knew was, because I never lived in the U.S. Now, I'll keep in mind, I'm born and raised in Germany.
Yeah.
And now I'm living in Thailand. I'm all over there on the other side of the world.
Can I ask you before you go on, how do you just move to Thailand and stay there? Like, what happened?
I told you, I went there for vacation 2 weeks. That was the plan. And I came back 15 years later with a wife and kid.
But so you met a girl, you decided to stay?
Yeah, my wife.
That's what happened? Literally?
Yeah, yes.
So you went to party, you met your wife, And you're like,
well, I had a couple of years of partying first. I had to lose my horns.
So the first, I know exactly what you're saying. I had that same problem. So, the first 2 years when you're there, what I'm asking is, when you got there and you meant to stay for 2 weeks, what was the trigger that made you stay?
I'll tell you exactly what it was. So we got picked up at the airport. So now I've never been there, because a friend of mine in my class, at school in Germany, his dad owned a hotel down there. Mm-hmm. And they go there every year when the school's out, summer break. He took his son over. He said he wanted to bring me all the time. But at that time, when I was young, I thought everything was China. I didn't know there was different countries. Yeah. I thought they all Chinese, they all looked the same. I said, well, you know?
Yeah.
I had no idea. So I said to my friend, let's go for 2 weeks. We bought a ticket, Philippine Airlines, boom, we down there. They pick us up, a driver that didn't speak a word of English. Mm-hmm. So he drove us 5 hours to wherever we went. And in a city by the beach, hotel. And I said, okay, so we arrived. Finally, I could get to speak to someone that can understand me.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, listen, I need to change some money. I got Deutschmarks back then.
Yeah.
So he said, okay, we'll drive you down there to the money exchange booth. They have one. And, you know, we get there. And right across the street from the booth, there's a huge bar with like 10, 15 different bars. And it was like 20 girls on each bar sitting there in a bikini.
I've heard about this. Okay, go on.
I get out the car.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking changing money. And as soon as I got out the car, every single one of them girls, hey, sexy man, handsome man. I'm looking over there. I'm looking in the car, and I tell my boy, I said, I don't know about you, but I'm the shit here. Changed the money. I went right across the street to the bar.
Yeah.
And they're playing games. And I didn't know, because it's a tourist. That's exactly what you are. They're gonna trick you to get into lady drinks, and you end up. So I was just as stupid as everybody else.
Yeah.
But it was fun, you know. Yeah. It was fun, you know. Yeah. So we had a good time. But after a while, you know, like, but especially when I started bodybuilding, now it's a different lifestyle. There's no more partying for me.
But what I'm saying is that fun? Was that fun the trigger? You were like, I gotta stay.
To stay.
Yeah.
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 I was young. There's nothing that told me you got to come back. I was going to stay until I didn't want to stay no more.
What did your parents say? You're like, I'm fucking staying in Thailand. Nobody cared.
My parents didn't know me.
What do you
I'm
mean?
I'm a one man band. If I'm going, I'm going. I'll be back whenever I'm ready.
And your parents were cool with that?
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Actually, my parents, they came to visit almost every year after that.
Really?
Yeah. I got married over there. Dorian Yates flew in. Dexter, Curly Top. They all came to my wedding in Thailand.
How did you know, that's one of the questions. I know we're getting away from like your history. We'll get back to it. But I always want to ask you how you managed to, I was always envious of the way you networked with everybody and had made so many friends. And like, you were kind of the guy in the IFBB, you know, you weren't winning Olympias or anything, but everybody kind of knew you and came to you. And mm-hmm. How did that happen? Why you?
I don't know. I guess it's, you know, for me, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
I was raised, born and raised in Germany. So it's a little different from the U.S. mentality. Be straightforward, you know?
Yeah.
So if I tell you something, I tell it to you because this is how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, I can't sugarcoat or be nice to you when I really want to tell you, you're a fucking idiot. No, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I can't talk bad about you. And then you walk into the room and I'm like, hey, man, it's so good to see you.
That's a
mentality that I never understood. And a lot of people that get to know me, they get that shock factor sometimes, because I was like, wow, I'm just telling straight. Because that's the way we do it. That's the way I was brought up.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what it is. Because like I said, I'm honest. I'm straightforward. Sometimes I regret the way I say things because, you know, in America, I had to learn that sometimes you want to express yourself a little differently, not to hurt people.
Yeah, be more diplomatic.
Yeah, but sometimes I have to tell people, listen, don't ask me if you don't want to know.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know,
yeah,
you can't ask me, so please give it to me straight. What do I look like? And I say, you look like garbage.
You can't tell bodybuilders the truth.
But I am, and that's why I think they somehow understand it. Because at the end of the day, you really, if you ask someone, you really want to know what I think.
Mm.
Okay, so.
Do you remember?
Maybe it's my personality. I don't know.
Yeah, I just, because I know, like, you were kind of the guy, you kind of, everybody knew you, and I just always like, this is pretty cool. Anyway, so going back, you moved to America.
Yes, in 2007.
And this is after, obviously, you met your wife and everything. Your wife comes with you?
Oh, yeah. We've been together. Yeah. We've been married forever already. We moved back to Germany first. We moved to Germany in 2004.
Wait a minute. You didn't move to America until 2007?
Yes.
Yeah, but when did you join the IFBB? Like, when did you get
into the IFBB? I come to the Olympia. I would fly in from Thailand. Do you remember they used to put on the screen, Dennis James, Thailand?
No,
I don't. Everybody thought because I'm Thai.
That's right. So, okay, how did you get into the IFBB, though? What show did you win?
All right, that's what I'm telling you now. Okay, yeah. So 1997, I said, I'm going to be in the IFBB. So yeah. I said, I'm going to take the USA route.
Yeah.
I bought myself a ticket. I flew in from Thailand, Bangkok, Taipei, LA. All okay. I knew was Los Angeles Airport, Gulf Venice, Marina Pacific.
Yeah.
You remember the hotel?
I think so, yeah.
The Marina Pacific was the hotel where they had kitchens and you know, for bodybuilders.
I never stayed there.
Yes, I stayed. That's okay. All I knew. And the okay. Firehouse. The Firehouse okay. was the restaurant right
yeah.
around
yeah,
the corner.
Yeah, I know Firehouse.
So I had a flight. I made a reservation at the Marina. No, I drove to the Marina Pacific in a car, in a taxi, and I booked a room. It wasn't even cheap.
Yeah.
And then I asked the front desk. I said, where's Gold's Gym? Yeah. So I knew it was somewhere in the area. And they said, yeah, just walk two blocks down this way.
Yeah.
What I didn't know is that a fucking U.S. block is fucking a half a mile. Or a mile, you know? So I walked all the way. I finally found goals. Now, keep in mind, I'm in the Naba universe.
Yeah.
And in the pro universe, I got second.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But now I'm coming to the Gold's Gym, you know? I felt this big.
Yeah, yeah.
When I walked through the door, I'll never forget that. The first one that walked past me was Paul fucking Dillette.
Yeah.
Bro, I exhaled so fast.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Put your arms down a bit.
Now, keep in mind, this is 1997. The only person I knew was Gary Striding.
Yeah.
And I knew Gary from Thailand. Mm-hmm. Gary was with me on my first date with my wife.
Okay.
So that's how I knew Gary. And Gary lived also right across the street from Firehouse on Main Street in a little apartment. So I said, Gary, who do I have to contact in order to join the NPC?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, John Lindsay. So he put me in contact. He gave me a number, John Lindsay. First thing before, I'm walking to Goals, right? And I'm walking there and I felt like, you know, I didn't want to swell up or nothing. I just wanted to be nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started training a little bit, you know, I get my tricking on. And I guess, you know, Rico McClinton.
Yeah.
He approached me. He was the one. I said, who are you? Where are you from?
Yeah.
You know? And then I said, yeah, I'm so-and-so, live in Thailand. And, you know, I competed in Naba. He said, hey, are you walking through this door? He said, you IFBB. So don't even tell anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't say anything. So I basically got the number from Gary. I called John Lindsay. I'll never forget the conversation. I said, hello, John Lindsay. This is Dennis James. I would like to sign up for NPC membership.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, well, where do you want me to send the membership, the forms to? I said, Thailand. I remember. First thing he said, what the fuck are you doing in Thailand? But we made it happen. I remember I paid $40 for my NPC card.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was early. It was May or June of 97. So I went back to Thailand after that trip. And then I came back in October. No, not late October, a little bit before October for the Nationals, but for my first NPC show, which was the Border States Classic in San Diego.
Okay, okay.
That was like three weeks before the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a qualifier for the next year's Nationals.
But wait a second. I thought you could only compete in the NPC if you lived in the USA.
Why?
If you're American,
you don't have to live in the USA.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
No.
Okay.
Anybody can compete in the NPC. I have a girl from Indonesia here right now. She's
no, I know. I know now the rules are different, but I thought back then you had to live in the U.S. Okay. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. Anybody can compete. It doesn't matter where you're from. When it comes to the USAs and the Nationals, they said you need to be a U.S. citizen.
Okay. Okay.
Which I was. Nobody's ever asked me.
Why? How are you a U.S. citizen?
My dad is American. My dad was in the service station in Germany.
Oh.
And my mom's German, so my parents still together.
Okay.
So the year I was born, there was no dual citizenship. So they had to make up their mind. It's either or.
Yeah.
So they decided for American. So I got American citizenship.
I didn't know that. Okay, I had no idea. Okay.
Okay, so I come back. You know, basically, I prepare myself for the Border States Classic. Now, I knew that I didn't tell anybody about the number.
Yeah.
So I just said, you know, I signed up. Novice, okay, I'm novice. So I signed up for novice.
Yeah.
And I drove. I remember I didn't even know how to get to San Diego. Back then, I had no credit card. And back then, you cannot get a car with cash.
Yeah.
So there was another friend of mine, not friend, but somebody I met there who was a friend afterwards. He said, I go with you. You know, I have a friend who has a rental car. You can give him cash and 200 extra deposit and he'll give you a car. So we drove up to San Diego, right?
Mm.
And we get to the Pacific Highway, whatever hotel it was. And then it was all the athletes. And then they said, novice all in this room and open in the other room for check-in, weigh-ins.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the novice, you know, I take my clothes off. They said, no, you over there. They wouldn't even let me step on scale.
Yeah, yeah.
So they sent me over to the open. My first show, right? I remember next day I step on stage. And the first thing, when I got on stage, the first thing the crowd was calling me Kevin LeBron.
Really?
I had the hair back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got on stage, you know, and I guess maybe the statue with the shoulders and stuff. I hear people from the crowd calling me Kevin LeBron. And when I first met Kevin the first time, because I was a fan of Kevin.
Yeah.
Because he was one of the guys that made me start bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. And when I first met him in person for the first time, he said to me, yeah, people will tell me about you as soon as you step on stage. There's a Peter McGough, I guess, called him and said, there's a guy who looks just like you. You know, similar body-wise. So anyway, so I won the overall.
Yeah.
And then they told me that this is the qualifier for the following year for 98. But they liked my look so much, they said, you know what, fuck it. Let's go to Dallas next week. You can compete this year's nationals.
Yeah.
And I went to the nationals all by myself. I was late. It was like a week out. There was no more hotels, so I had to find another place. Yeah. Now, keep in mind, I'm doing it all by myself.
Yeah.
I get there. Tom Prince wins. Oliver Burke second. Garrett Downing third. I get fourth. Okay. My first nationals.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess they kind of liked the look. So I told them after the show, Lonnie Tieper came to me and I said, Lonnie, man, I'm going to train now for a year and I'm going to come back next year and I'm going to try to win this thing. Mm-hmm. He said, why you want to wait till next year? November next year or October, whatever it was. He said, why not just go to the USA's? But I already knew from the magazines that the USA's is a West Coast show.
Yeah.
They have their favorites from the West Coast, you know? Yeah. So I said, no, go to the USA's. So keep in mind, I weigh in at 215 at the Nationals.
Yeah.
So 7 months later, June come around the corner, I go to the USA's, come back from Thailand. I train with Charles. I met Charles Glass the first time I was there. So we had a couple of sessions before the USA's, but I still do everything by myself.
Yeah.
I drive to Vegas with my brother. He was with me. First year they introduced the super heavies, I weigh in 233 and win the overall. First time.
Okay. How do you put on 15 pounds in 7 months?
Because I lost that weight. And this is exactly what happened to Dorian.
I see.
When I competed at the Border States Classic, I was 226.
Yeah.
By the time I got to the Nationals, because I'm thinking, over dieted, didn't know what I was doing. I ended up 215.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I didn't.
So you weren't really 215. You were a depleted 215.
I would say I was probably a good 222, 220.
Yeah,
222, 225 maybe.
Yeah, I got you.
So 233, and I was on like Donkey Kong, bro. I swear to God. And that was the first year they introduced the super heavies. And that time, this is the first USA's I've been to. Won the USA's, got my pro card.
Is this you?
That's me. That's a Nationals, 97.
This is the one you took fourth at?
That's the Nationals, fourth, yes.
I could see the Kevin Lavroni comparisons.
Wait till you see 98.
I don't think I could find 98.
No.
Let me see if I can. I'm admiring for a second. This is crazy, man. Why
keep
did
in mind,
you?
This is all no knowledge, zero knowledge.
Okay, I have a question. Since we're always talking about '90s and 2000s and all that,
yeah,
You come from the 90s. Why did you change your look if you had this look already? Did you feel like you had
Jason,
to?
Jason Ronnie.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That was my mistake. Everybody, I asked me, if you could change something, what would change? I said, not change Ronnie, change Ronnie and keep, because I had little tiny waist. I had it all.
Yeah.
And I just tried to get too big and basically fucked up my shape.
Do you think that's what Dexter did right, which was he didn't try and chase that size?
We gotta keep it honest again. I mean, Dexter, this is what Dexter's saying.
Yeah.
But I think, listen, not everybody can get big. Some people just can't get big.
That's true.
And yeah. I don't think, and I know for a fact that Dexter, the first years when I was beating him, he tried to get bigger, but his body wouldn't get that big.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which was good for him because at the end of the day, it saved him, you know, and it kept him where he's at today, you know. And it's not because he chose to stay small. No, because he comes from a bantamweight. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a guy that can be 300 pounds. I could get 300 pounds just by eating 6-7 meals a day. That's the difference, you know.
So is it easy to – why did you stay in Thailand? Is it easy to go back and forth and compete all the time?
I was comfortable. I had my gym there. Everything was there. I mean, I've been there 15 years or at that time maybe 10 years already or 9. So this basically was my home.
Yeah. And then you moved to – why did you move to the U.S. in 2007?
Because my wife wanted to move to the U.S. We moved back from Thailand to Germany in 2004. And then her sister, who's also married to an American, she moved to Florida. Okay. And, you know, and back then, my wife didn't. She'd never been to the U.S. She thinks a lot of people in the world think U.S. is the paradise. Everything in America, the land of opportunity. They don't know it's the same bullshit as everywhere else.
Exactly.
So, but they don't know. So everybody wants to come to America until they see America. It's like, oh, this is the same shit. There's more homeless people here than anywhere else. What you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so... Yeah. It was her decision. She wanted to move. So I said, okay, let's go. At the end of the day, I'm happy because, you know, in the back of my mind was that this is where the sport is, you know, because I missed out on a lot of guest posing opportunities because I was living in Thailand. Yeah. And people weren't really that eager to spend $5,000 on the ticket just to bring me in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
no, you know, I then plus the fee and everything.
No, I know that because living in Canada too at the time, like seems like things don't matter anymore. But at the time, I remember sponsors telling me, "Oh, you live in Canada? Forget it. We're looking for an American." Or like, guest posing, like, "Oh, I got to fly you in from Canada." Like, "Oh, it's too far," and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So it did.
I was lucky. I got contracts even in Thailand. I mean, Joey signed me back in 1999.
Yeah.
And I was with him until 2014.
Yeah. So when was your first Olympia?
2000.
Where'd you place at your first Olympia?
11th.
And then you moved up from there. And then 2 years later,
in 2001, I got 7th.
Yeah. How'd that feel moving up the ranks?
I got better. Actually, I got 6th, if you really think about it, because Jake Huttner got disqualified. Oh, yeah.
That doesn't count.
Still waiting for my exit check.
I remember that. That was wasn't that the fucking diuretic bullshit?
Yeah, no, one, 5 diuretics.
No, I know, but was
it? That was the year they tested for diuretics, yes. Yeah. And Jay said, fuck it. He went in with 5 different ones in his system. And beat the system still.
Yeah, well, that's Jay, man. He's the golden boy.
So
did it feel good moving up the ranks at the biggest show in the world? Because you moved up all the way to 4th.
Absolutely, because... Once you get to that point where people talk about you as a threat, you're going to look in the mirror and say, wait a minute, these people think I got this.
Yeah.
So now I was like a machine. I was like a machine. You know what I'm talking about. It was bodybuilding 24/7. You couldn't talk to me about anything else but bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And getting better and coming, you know, because who was the first guy that came up with practice pictures? Who started this? It was nobody else was doing progress pictures. They didn't know what that was. I was the one, because I'm in Thailand and I started this in 1999.
Yeah.
And before my first Ironman. Okay. Not 99, 2000 Ironman. So I said, I'm in Thailand. I said, how do I know? Because I knew You know, because you hear from, you got to be in America. You got to be, the judges have to know you.
Yeah.
So I said, let me fucking upload pictures. Back then it was dial up. It took me 45 minutes to upload one photo.
And it would, it'd be great. You'd see like strips come up. Like it would just load like.
It took me hours to get the pictures. And then it fucking took fucking half a day to fucking upload them on the, online. But I had the world talking about me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it started. And I kept doing it.
Yeah. I know the power of that because, excuse me, I had the exact same thought process living in Canada. Because at the time, everybody thought, if you're you only get contracts if you're American, they only talk about you if you're American, which is true because if you won the Canadas, you wouldn't even see, there'd be like a little paragraph in the magazine.
Yeah.
If you win the USAs, you'd get like a 4 or 5 page spread, right?
Yeah.
So that's, if you remember the message boards, like Chad Nichols message board, and I used to upload all my, Chad Nichols, remember he had a message board? It was called Muscle Mayhem.
Oh yeah, Muscle Mayhem.
Yeah, I used to upload all my photos to there. And I just very different message boards.
But this was all after me. You guys.
Oh no, I know. It was way, it was way after you. Yeah.
This got popular. This got popular after.
Yeah, I started doing that in like 2002, 2003. But yeah, everybody was doing it at that time already.
Yeah, and people talking like, oh shit, I had them fucking shit in their pants.
But you know why? It's because of shit like this. Watch, I'm going to show you why. And this is one thing I wanted to ask you about, and I want to ask you if it offended you or not. But this is why you would post stuff like. This, like this photo, or like
this was.
I know. It's way later, but I'm just saying. Like, you would post here. Let me do this. Dennis James in the gym.
Dennis James in the gym.
This is, people would see shit like this, and they'd be like, "Who the fuck is this guy?" Yeah? They'd be like, "Who is this fucking guy?" That's what they would say. And it'd be like every year, Dennis James would post these photos. And look bigger and rounder, and people are like, "Dennis is going to win the Olympia."
Yeah,
and I remember, listen,
even though I didn't win, you know, but it helped me to get my name out.
Okay, but this is what I want to ask you, and this is something I've always been curious about. This, when you're this great, people gave you the nickname the in the gym Mr. Olympia, because you always looked like you could win the Olympia from these pictures in the gym, like pictures pictures like this.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah.
What does that bother you, or is that a compliment to you?
No, it doesn't. Listen, things don't bother me at all. This stopped many, many, many years ago where I realized that you got to build a really, really thick skin in this industry in order not to go stupid. I remember in the very beginning when websites started, MySpace, you remember MySpace?
Yeah.
And somebody says, you know, nobody ever told me, say, hey, you gotta be prepared. If you have success, you're gonna have haters. Yeah. I wasn't ready for that. I thought everybody's gonna love you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, so at that time, I'm still the crazy one. That's like, you said something stupid. I'm going online. I'm trying to find your address.
That's what I do.
I'm trying to find. Nowadays, I can literally read stuff people say about me and laugh.
Yeah.
And keep reading some other stuff. You know, this would fucking bother me.
Yeah.
But I realized real fast that if it bothers you when you reply. That's when they get you.
I know.
They will not stop. What are you going to do? You can fight with people that don't even have a picture?
So you didn't learn all at once, though. There must have been a period where you were learning, but you would revert back to your old self.
Yes. I had nobody that could, I had no one I can go and call and ask, you know. This is basically what I'm doing for a lot of people. I got people calling me before they have to negotiate for contracts. I get people calling me names. I mean, the Olympia, they're calling me. I said, I lost my contract. Can you help me out find another sponsor?
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing this forever because that's just who I am.
Yeah.
So, but I had to learn. I don't know if there's the hard way. Is that the right way to make? Because at the end of the day, it's all a learning experience, you know? And you realize, because when you look at it, how many times you get something stupid. You know, from 100 good ones, you get 2 bad ones. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's just bad if you let it get to you.
So for me, I learned a long time ago, but old habits die hard.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I'll read some shit and it'll fucking like my head.
I know. But Floyd, the difference back then was we weren't fucking dependent on fucking fans because we had publication deals.
Magazine contracts.
The fans want to see you, they had to buy the magazine.
Yeah.
But with the social media now, they have direct access to you. Yeah. So now you got to use it a little different because as fast as you piss one off, as fast as it goes around, whatever you do, you can't go nowhere and fuck up without the world knowing before you get home.
I know. Do you think, you know, it's an interesting thing to think, do you, because you lived through all through it. Do you think it was better then, better now? And do you think guys have a harder, do you think they have an easier time making money or a harder time making money?
Now?
Yeah.
With social media, it's way easier.
But is it, well, it's easier because of the amount of money you can make, but is it harder because of the amount of work you have to do?
No, I don't think so, because it's easier because you can do it from home.
Yeah.
And it's harder because there's a lot of people that can do it now. Because now it doesn't matter if you win shows, it doesn't matter who you are, it matters who you are, how many people follow you, and what personality you bring across. Yeah. You know, because there's people making a shitload of money on YouTube. They wouldn't be able to stand a chance on any stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the difference. That's why it's harder, because you compete with those guys.
Yeah. I think it has to be harder, because if you think about it, like when I started, I had a supplement contract and a magazine contract. I had to do shit.
Yeah.
I'd write one article a month for the magazine. If even that, sometimes they would write it and I would just look it over and sign it.
Yeah.
So there was a lot less to do then. You could just focus on bodybuilding and bodybuilding only.
Right.
Whereas now you have to go out and hustle to make your money.
You got to go to work. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it better to be a bodybuilder then or now though? What do you think?
If I could turn back the time.
Yeah.
Or if I could just be 25 again, I think I would prefer the time now.
Why?
Because there's more opportunities.
Yeah. In what way?
Back then, you had to be somebody in order to make money.
That's true.
You had to be winning.
Yeah.
You can't just be there. You got to win.
Yeah.
If you don't win, you get no big contracts. Now, you don't get a contract because you win. You get a contract because you have a huge following.
Yeah.
They pay you by your followers. They don't pay you where you place no more. That's the difference.
I guess the difference is back then you had to have a group of people that liked you, meaning like the judges. If they liked you, you could make money. Now, if people in general like you, you can make money.
Yeah.
If the public likes you, you can make money.
Yeah. I mean, maybe for the sport of bodybuilding, it was better back then because you can fully concentrate on bodybuilding only.
Yeah.
Now you got to do shit that bodybuilders normally don't want to do, like have a cameraman follow you all day, take a shit, they got to film it. You know what I mean? You have no more private life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I'm not big on YouTube, because I can't have somebody follow me everywhere I go and pretend like I'm a reality show. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I still have a personal life and I want to keep that as personal as I can.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So when you retired, you got into, you started coaching. Well, how long after you retired did you start coaching, or were you coaching while you were still?
I started coaching way before.
So how long before you retired were you coaching? I didn't know you were coaching when you were
competing. I was coaching in the late '90s.
Really?
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Not like coaching where I get paid.
I was
doing it for free.
Yeah.
I was writing programs for guys, diets for people in Thailand. They come to the gym for free. I didn't get paid.
Yeah. But when
I didn't start asking for money until probably beginning 2000.
Yeah.
Where I started getting pissed because I sit there and I map out something, you know, for a guy, and then he fucking goes and eat hamburgers in front of me and doesn't even train the way I tell him to do. So I'm like, what the fuck am I wasting my time for? So I start charging him.
Yeah, yeah. So after you retired, you started doing it more, though. It became more of a full-time thing, right?
Yes. I mean, that was my exit plan. I mean, I said, you can't just stop competing and then this is the end of you.
Yeah.
That was never my plan. My plan was to stay involved. Yeah. I said, try to use what you achieved in your career, use that to continue giving back and do what you love to do. And that's why I was doing, and you know, emceeing the press conference, emceeing shows worldwide, just staying involved as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Because I love the sport. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking about retirement with my brother, I was like, I think if I retire, I'm just going to walk away completely from it and go do something else. Like maybe I'll do real estate or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, you know, it'd be a real shame to have mastered something and become a, you know, reached such a pinnacle of it and then just walk away from it all and throw it all away. He's like, you have a lot to give back because of your experiences. Yeah. You should stay in that circle.
Yeah. And it's not like, I think if somebody has a good career and then he just walks away completely, that means that you're not happy with it. You weren't happy.
Yeah.
And you know, look at you now. You got a great podcast. You do a great job. You know, you're involved. You get people come talk to you. How many people would talk to just anyone?
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to get these guys online to talk to you.
Yeah. No, I'm happy with what's happening. I think it's interesting how some people choose to just get away from the whole thing and never, like, there's some bodybuilders, you just disappeared. You never see them ever.
Yeah. And then years later, when they realize that there's nothing else they can do, they're trying to come back and catch up. And that's not happening. Once you're gone, you're gone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So more importantly, I want to get you on because your biggest client physically and in stature is Rami, who is not your, I know you don't do his nutrition, but you help him in a whole bunch of other ways. Are you doing his training or just helping with posing or just kind of staying on top of him or like?
I do a little bit of everything. I mean, Ted is the nutritionist. I just do it. I'm just here. His friend.
Yeah.
Someone that he can trust. Someone that where he knows I want him to do well. And whatever he needs, he gets it here. We train.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do cardio together. I do the cardio too. So it's not because of him. I do it anyways, you know.
Yeah.
So, but he knows, he feels at ease, you know, and this is what he needs. I know exactly what, I knew it for many, many years.
Yeah.
And I know he's not getting what he needs. Because at the end of the day, you know bodybuilders, it's fucking very simple.
Yeah.
It's, you just put it together. It's very easy.
Yeah.
You know? But, and I think he's doing really well. I think he responds very well.
So when did he get to your house?
2 weeks.
So
two weeks ago.
So he stays at your house for 3 or 4 weeks before the O?
Well, no, we're leaving tomorrow for Orlando. So it's going to be actually 2 weeks, and then we'll have 1 week in Orlando.
Okay. And you run him through all his poses and everything. How's Rami doing?
I do the mandatories. Because pose routine, I mean.
Yeah. How is he looking? How is he doing right now?
I think he's going to be without a doubt the best Rami we've all seen ever on stage.
But we keep hearing that every year, and I'm waiting.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've never said it the last 6 years because he wasn't with me. So you didn't hear it from me.
Yeah.
I was only the one that said it in the beginning when I told people that something big is coming. Trust me.
Yeah.
And they saw what happened at the New York. He was, that was the very first show.
Yeah.
You know, and after that, I never said anything because I never saw him.
Why do you think Rami gets such a hard time from everybody?
Because I don't know why. And this is exactly what I thought about earlier. When you have success, you have more fucking critique and haters.
But he has so much more than everybody else.
Not only has he that, he won almost every show. Why have people given him a hard time? Like he's failing. He's fucking disappointing.
I know.
He won every show other than the Olympia.
I have a theory about it. My theory about it is that I feel like he's so big that they see a Ronnie-type physique, but that doesn't look like Ronnie.
Yeah.
And they're waiting. They're waiting for him to become Ronnie.
Yeah, but maybe that's what it is. But I mean, how can you knock this guy for winning every show but the Olympia and got second at the Olympia?
I know.
I mean.
That's what I'm saying.
His short career in 6 years is way better than mine was in 11.
I know. I don't know anybody. That's why I keep asking people. I've asked a few people different on the podcast because I don't know what it is about Rami that he just gets such a bad rap for somebody with such a great record. Like,
it's because they want to, it's because maybe people like him. They want to see him win. Yeah. And unless you win, this is not, it's a loss.
Yeah, I feel like it's the same thing that happens to Cedric. You know, Cedric has got an amazing physique, and I feel like people are always Cedric this, Cedric that.
And I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Cedric has, for me, probably one of the best physiques out there.
So you think it's because people like him that they're harder on him?
If they want him, they want to finally see him fucking put it together so that they can fucking put this check behind it. And he comes in again, you know, and again, and again. So, if it wasn't because he's light, who would care what he looks like?
No, I'm just saying this is different because now that means it's not haters. That means it's people just want.
Those are fans.
Yeah, those are fans.
True fans that truly want to see him win.
Does Romney
every time he loses, basically they call it losing. If you don't win, he loses. Like he's dead last. But he could be second and they're still disappointed.
Yeah.
And you know how it is. He could be picture perfect. They will find something.
But you know what? That's a lot. That would be a lot easier for me to take as an athlete if I thought of it that way. If I thought of it like these people love me, they just want to see me 1% better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that. So what I guess what I'm asking is, when you're around Rami, does he know that, or does he think people are just hard on him for the sake of being hard on him?
I think he knows he has a huge support. The support is ridiculous.
But when people are hard on him, does he know that it's because they want?
He is way less on the internet than people think.
Really?
He doesn't know a lot. He doesn't. Okay. He doesn't see. He doesn't watch. I told him stop. Don't read. Don't listen. Because it's all here.
Yeah.
I said, and this is something that he's very good in, not even paying attention to what's going on around him.
Do you remember?
Not everybody is strong-minded enough to take the criticism, especially at this point, you know, before a show. So, and if you know, you'll kind of then stay away from it. Don't put yourself in it. Don't put yourself in a situation where you have to read shit that you don't want to hear.
Yeah. Are you coaching anybody else at the Olympia?
No.
No. You still coach a lot of pros or no?
I work with a few pros, but I don't work with a lot of pros because pros is not easy to work with. You know, it's not fun. It's not fun with pros. I tell you why, because first of all, most of the time it's like, you know, they want you to help them. And then if you try, you know, have conversations with them, then they'll tell you, oh, I know my body.
Yeah.
Well, if you know your body, what you coming to me for?
Yeah.
You just need a bed and breakfast? What is it?
Yeah.
You know, so I prefer beginners, amateurs, you know, help them to make it to the where they can walk by themselves. You know, I have more fun doing that. Because they listen and they follow. And for me, the best thing is when somebody follows. When you know for sure he's following exactly what you tell him to do, and not if you tell him to do this and they're going to go cheat somewhere and then tell you they did exactly what you're supposed to say and what you said, and they don't, you know. So, you know, it's not a knock on all pros. I do have a few pros, but I prefer amateurs.
Do you remember coaching me?
Yeah.
Do you remember saying something to me about pasta? Do you remember what you said to me about pasta?
What did I say?
You had pasta in my diet, which I was, this is, I'm
oh,
like,
off season.
No, we were prepping. It was in the beginning
No, no. Brown rice pasta. That's different.
Yeah. Brown rice pasta. It wasn't like regular.
Yeah. That's brown rice.
Yeah. I know. So I'm doing brown rice pasta, which I still eat, by the way, to this day.
Okay. But
so I'm doing it and you're like, have a cup or something like that. And then I think I had chicken with it. But I think, I don't know if you asked me to send you a picture of my meal or I might have posted it and I was putting pasta sauce on it and I was putting more than, I think I was putting a lot. And I think you emailed me or called, I don't remember. And you're like, what do you think you're at an Italian restaurant? What the fuck are you doing? I was like, you said to have pasta. You're like, you can't have that much pasta sauce. What the fuck are you doing? I was like, okay.
Yeah, so, but this is for all the people that listen to this brown rice pasta. It's made out of 100% brown rice.
Yeah, I still eat that, by the way, because it digests.
Easy to swallow, right?
Yeah. Well, it digests way better too.
Yeah.
So, and then later on in that prep, I remember. By the way, that's the most shredded I've ever been. We did.
You look fucking unbelievable.
No, well, I looked like shit because I think I threw up like 3 times the day before.
No, but you didn't look like shit.
No, I didn't look like shit, but I mean, I wasn't full because of how much I'd thrown up, but I was shredded, like.
Shredded, yeah, you were shredded.
I think
that was right here in Phoenix, wasn't it?
No, Dallas. That was Dallas. Branch Warren beat me.
Dallas.
Yeah, that was Dallas, but
I know it was in Europa. I didn't know it was in Phoenix.
I remember.
You were probably way over. You were already not going on stage. You were at the point.
Remember, I was laying backstage.
I remember.
And I was shivering. I think I was laying on the floor shivering.
I remember.
And I was like, I don't think I'm going to go on. And I think you said, you tried to convince me. And then you kind of gave up because I was like, I don't know. And then my wife came and she knelt down next to me and she's like, they're going to call you a pussy if you don't go on stage and you're forever going to be known that way. Yeah. And I was like, holy fuck, she's right. So I got up.
Yeah. But then you got on stage and you acted like nothing happened.
It was, I think it was adrenaline. When I got on stage, I was fine. Right.
Man, you look fucking awesome, man. I don't care what nobody says.
I remember
what happened. Who you got second.
Branch Warren beat me. And it's funny because I remember Brian Dobson, who is Branch Warren's friend, told Summer, because they were sitting in the audience together because they know each other. He told Summer, he's like, I think he's got him beat. Meaning like he thought I had Branch beat because Branch was a little bit off that show. But I think at the end of the day, Branch out-muscled me because he was just, I was kind of flat and he was, you know, he's a lot bigger than I was. So I think Branch out-muscled me. So he probably deserved the win. And then I beat Johnny. Johnny was third. So
I think you should have won that day.
A few people have said that.
I was biased, of course, but no. Yeah. But looking at it, I remember, you know, I felt that Branch got a little hometown bonus there.
Yeah, yeah. One more thing. I remember you, I think if you remember this, I was like 2 weeks out. You had me eating like nothing. It was nothing. I was eating like chicken and fucking lettuce. That was it. And you're like, I remember snapping one day. And like, I was so fucking hungry. I got my car and I went for a drive.
Yes, I remember that.
And I think you called me or I called you.
You called me.
I called you and I'm like, Dennis, I'm going to fucking break, man. I got to eat. Yeah. I think you had me on like 1500 calories. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, just take it easy, man. You could do it. There's a couple more weeks to go. And I think you added more lettuce. You're like, you can have more lettuce. And I was like, so anyway. I just thought that was funny. I remember that.
Yeah, but now I remember exactly. Yeah, you had a few minutes in that prep where you wanted to fucking kill the world.
You used a lot of peptides with me back then. Do you still do that stuff?
Yeah. No. That was back then because I know they were made in the U.S.
Yeah, because remember we did a lot
and
of.
I don't trust anything from China. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. It kind of that fad kind of came and went really fast.
Yeah, you know what? Because it was the company Precision Peptides back then, and they actually sponsored me. And for 2012, when I came back, I used the peptides.
Yeah.
And I saw how fast my body, before I even started anything, I used peptides and my body instantly came back and blew up.
Yeah.
So I know this stuff works.
Yeah. Well, I had a good prep, and I don't think if I can recall, I don't think we used any GH. It was all like those.
No, you used, I can tell you exactly what you used. You used Ipamorelin, Follistatin.
Yep.
GHRP6. You used the HCH fragment.
And the IGF LR3 or whatever.
CJC 1295 DAC.
Yeah. I remember
the
whole
stack. ACE 31.
Yeah, I think that was one of them too.
That was just once a week.
Yeah, and then we got away from everything. And then. Now guys are using SARMs. Do you think SARMs do anything?
I don't know. I have no experience with SARMs.
So you don't use them on your guys?
I don't even, I wouldn't know how to use them.
Yeah, I don't either. I feel like it's.
I have not read up on SARMs. I just hear it, but I pay no attention to it. Yeah. I get the question every day. Every time I do a live, people ask me, how about SARMs? I said, listen, unless I use it myself or I use it with others, I have no experience. I can't speak on it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, I'm not going to keep you very much longer. I just want to ask you, we got the Olympia coming up in a week. Mm-hmm. Are you doing anything there? Like any kind of,
yes.
Are you doing the press conference? Oh, you're doing the commentary.
Yeah.
I want to do the commentary.
Yeah. Well, you'd probably be a good candidate too.
Who are you doing it with? Sean?
Sean and Tim Wilkins. And then we'll do with the men's 212 classic. And then there's Linda Murray. There's from Canada. What's her name? Mindy.
Okay.
Mindy and Isabel Terrell. They're doing the females.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, yeah. make sure you keep Sean in check.
Let's make sure he doesn't mix up the guys from Canada.
Let's make sure he doesn't shit on all the athletes the whole time.
Yeah.
No,
you know, I won't do that.
Where do you think? Okay. I just want a quick rundown. What do you think the top five? Who do you see? Who do you see and where do you see them? You think Phil's going to win?
I think Phil can walk away with that title, yes.
You got, where do you see Rami? That's interesting. Where do you see Rami being?
I see Rami fighting for the top spot.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see him fighting for the top spot, yeah, absolutely. I don't want to say too much.
I know,
because I don't want to be like, oh, you're like,
I know.
No, but I'm telling you, I think, can I show you something?
Sure.
I don't even know if I can.
I won't show nobody. Don't worry. I'll edit this part.
I was just looking at stuff 2 days ago because, you know, I really like Hunter Labrada.
Yeah.
I like his condition. I like where he's at. I like where he looks. And then he just posted pictures 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I look at the side chest and I said, this is a nice side chest.
Yeah.
You know, and then I took a picture of Rami the same day.
Yeah.
And compared them. And I'm gonna let you see that. This is Hunter.
Yeah. Wait.
Okay.
It's in the glare. Move it over a bit or something. Yeah. Okay. I guess I can kind of see it.
Okay. So this will be Hunter.
Yeah.
And then, which one? This way. Okay. Okay. One more time.
Yeah. Okay.
This will be Hunter.
Yeah.
And this will be Rocky.
A feathering in the glute. Yeah. Wow.
It's really, I'm telling you, it's, we don't know what 100% Rami is.
No, we don't.
Because we don't know.
No.
Okay. So he could be 100% and people say, well, we want to see him at 100%. Yeah. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be a Rami that probably hasn't been on stage.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this not because he's there, he's right there now.
Yeah.
If he would step on stage tomorrow, tonight, he would already be a better Rami. So, but I know Chet knows his shit too.
Yeah.
So I'm confident. I'm really confident that we will see the best Rami ever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they're almost going to be haters saying, you know, he could use more calves.
Yeah,
because his calves. I want to put the tape around his calves for people to see how big his calves really are.
Yeah,
they come up a lot. But if you have 36 inch quads,
exactly,
your calves going to look, you know, not that big.
Yeah, where do you see Dexter? Do you see Dexter? Do you see age catching up, or you think Dexter will be up there again?
I think Dexter going to be in the top three.
Really?
Yeah, I think this is going to be. There are going to be two surprises at the show.
You've seen pictures of Dexter, obviously.
No, but I know Dexter for many years. I know Dexter since we turned pro in 98.
Yeah.
Dexter doesn't brag.
Yeah.
But when Dexter brags.
You better look out. Yeah.
When he brags.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is on. He's on. And he's not delusional. Dexter never said he's going to blah, 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 blah. And then he comes and disappoints.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So when he brags, he knows some shit.
So you're in your placing so far, that puts Brandon all the way back in fourth almost.
Brandon did not impress me with the video that we saw.
Yeah, I only saw screenshots of it. I wasn't blown away by it either.
Well, the screenshot's the same. If you turn around, that's not a Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
Because you see Phil posted that picture, right?
I didn't see Phil's picture.
Phil posted that picture of Brandon standing from behind and put the date, December 10th. He deleted it right away, but he posted it in the story.
Oh, so it's not there anymore?
It's still there. You know, the picture's out there because they deleted it right away. Here's what happened. Supposedly, the kid's coach posted it on Snapchat.
Yeah.
And then all the stupid, you know, it was like negative from the first one to the last one. Yeah. So he deleted it. But it was already screenshotted 100,000 times. So everybody talks about it. The video, even Nick Strength and Power.
I've seen it, yeah.
And Nick Strength and Power, who likes Brandon, you know, who just did a video yesterday and said, Phil's going to win. So he jumped back bandwagons too. But, you know, then his coach supposedly said, oh, that's the old video from 2017. Let me get the fuck out of here with the carbon hat on. That shit's brand new.
That's true.
So, you know what I mean? And even if that was true, he's stupid for doing that.
Yeah.
So when he sent a message to Nick Strength and Power and begged him to take the video down.
Oh, no.
So anyways, listen, I like Brandon. I like him a lot. He's a good guy, and I have nothing bad against him. But if that's his condition 6 days out, he's in trouble.
Yeah. when I saw those screenshots, I was like, that's not, it looked hazy though. I'm like, you can't tell kind of, I don't know. It didn't look.
I'm not looking at the condition. Let's not even talk about the condition.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about from the lower half from the rear.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, yeah. I know Brandon's weakness, but it did nothing. It doesn't look like a lot of things have changed.
Yeah.
Okay. So if he doesn't come in improved from last year, there's no way he's winning the Olympia. And if Phil posted that picture, basically laughing.
So Phil reposted the screenshot?
He posted the screenshot, yes. And they took it down too, just to fuck with people.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Things are getting nasty now.
Yeah. You know what? It's 5 days.
It always happens at the end, like the real... Yeah. Everyone's all nice until the very end, and then
yeah, you know, and we would like to post a few pictures too, but you know, at the end, you can only hurt yourself. Yeah. You never do yourself really well unless you are no contender and you are no name and you want to make it, put your name out there.
Yeah,
but if you want to compete for the top, you don't post anything because
if you post it and you look amazing. Then you set yourself up for failure if you don't look as good on stage.
Not only that, because you will find you have the haters again, and will just find something they don't like about you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then you got to mentally work with that.
Yeah, and if you post it and you don't look as good as you should, then you got to deal with like 1,000 people saying you look like shit.
That's exactly what Brandon did.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you missed the Olympia, and you're going to hear for the next 5 days that this is over. Bye bye.
Yeah, that's not, that can't help.
No, you don't want that. You don't want that. And now, you know, they thought we were panicking here because the way I train certain things. I like to do a drop set at the end. What I like to do.
Why is that bad? Why? People were giving you shit for that?
You didn't hear what Dave Palomo, Cristicito, having a show. Oh, did you see the way he's training? Panic mode. They're in panic mode. They want to spot reduce fat. I have never in a million years believe that those two, especially Chris, you know better.
Yeah.
All this shit you guys done in the past didn't work. Because you should be training heavy. And listen, that shit didn't work. Mm-hmm. So what was the problem? Was it the coaches?
Yeah.
Or maybe is it the workout? Maybe he doesn't need to worry about 800-pound squats and 500 pounds on the incline because I don't think he needs to worry about size.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is wrong with old school training, man? It worked for everybody back in the days. It worked for everyone. Why wouldn't it work for him?
So Dave and Chris were taking a piece out of you for doing drop sets?
You know, Dave is he's an instigator.
Yeah.
So he asked Chris, what do you think is happening? They're panicking. And then Dave, Chris, who's panicking? Rami or Chet? Everyone. Because I posted one set.
Yeah.
The T-bar, starting with eight plates, dropping it down to four.
And that's bad?
Go on my Instagram.
Is that a bad thing?
For them, I guess. It's panicking.
This seems like a totally normal thing to me.
Go on Instagram.
Is this it here?
No. That's a different one. Before.
This one here.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I saw this.
Yeah. That's fucking 2 weeks out. Come on now. Who rolls fucking eight plates like that?
Oh, wait. Let me go back. All right. He's got eight plates on there?
Yeah.
Are those full plates? Full 45s?
Yeah.
Man, he's a fucking beast.
That's what I'm saying. How do you go panic?
I used to do that like mid-off season. Huh? So this
panic mode. They call it panic mode.
This is panic.
They're saying we're trying to spot loose fat.
By doing this?
Yeah, you're gonna, okay, I didn't know you can do it. You do it the way, if you want to lose fat in between your rhomboids, this is what you do.
Yeah.
According to Chris Aceto and Dave Palumbo.
Do you get along with those guys?
Yes, I like Chris, man. I like Chris a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't take it personal, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. You know, that's just, of course, I mean, if you work with someone, I guess, and, you know, when Rami was working with Chris, Dave Palumbo was kissing his ass from morning until night.
Yeah.
And praising him. And as soon as he don't work with him no more, he's, you know, it's the only negative. So that's, it doesn't look right, you know? For me, this is like, yeah.
I got to say, dude, look how big you fucking look right now. What the fuck? You're not even off juice for like 10 years. You're still fucking too sick. You look huge.
Yeah. Hey, nobody's in my family is little. My mom is 240. Come on.
Yeah.
Your mom is 240. I'm serious.
That's amazing, man. You know what? Don't worry about it. Yeah, who cares what they have to say, man? I don't think there's anything wrong with doing drop sets and shit.
Yeah. Anyways, nobody's panicking here. Actually, it's super calm, super smooth. I don't think I would have ever panicked if I would have looked like him at this point before the show. I would be just cruising. Okay.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys bring, man. Every year, I'm the guy people laugh at because I'm like, Rami's going to do it this year. Rami's going to shock everybody, and he's going to fucking beat everyone. And every year, he's second or third or something. So I hope this year.
Ford, if he wins the Olympia, they're still going to say the same.
There's always going to be people that are going to talk shit.
Nobody's going to say he was 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what is 100%? We'll never know what 100% means.
No, the new thing I hear now, it's not that he's not 100%. The new thing I'm hearing now is, his legs are too big. So it's like there's always going to be something. Like if he wins the Olympia, they're going to be like, his proportions are off. His legs are too big.
He's too nice. All that shit. Yeah. Let him, at the end of the day, listen, he is the only bodybuilder that won every show other than the Olympia. And he's still getting shit from people because they fucking hate him.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yeah. And some of the outlets, they hate him because he's not coming on their show. To give him more fucking clickbait. Because the funny thing is, they talk trash about it, but every fucking thing they post, they use a picture of him to get people to click on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, they say that's their job. I like Chris Aceto, Dave Palumbo, he's an okay dude, man. He talks a lot of shit. We know that. That's just who he is, But at the end of the day, whatever they did before didn't work, And a lot of people say that he looked great in 2013 and 2014.
Yeah.
So why not go back to doing what you did back then?
That's when you worked with him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't you? You got him ready for New York, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. That's when he looked his best, but I think.
The second New York too in 2014 and the Olympia 2014.
I thought he looked, in all fairness though, I thought he looked pretty good when he worked with Chris.
Rami always looks good.
Yeah.
He sucked.
No, literally, but I mean, but
when he came out super flat.
But I mean, like, as far as all the versions of Rami, the two that stand out to me are New York and the time he worked with Chris.
Chris was one show in Spain.
Yeah. Yeah, was that
one
it?
Show where he looked good. But at the end of the day, Rami always looks good. It doesn't matter who you work with.
Yeah.
It's just little things that go wrong, at a certain time where you can't blame a coach for that either, because if you work with someone, you can't figure this person out in 2-3 months.
Yeah.
It's going to take a show or two.
Well, especially when he's that big, because I think we've talked about it on numerous times on this show. The bigger a person is, the harder it is to –
the harder it is.
Somebody equated it to landing a plane. The bigger the plane is, the harder it is to land. Yeah. So it's the same thing. Rami's being as big as he is, it's going to be harder to manage that peak. So, well, anyway, listen. I appreciate you coming on, Dennis. It's been nice talking to you. And I really, really hope if you give Rami my best, I hope he fucking wins this weekend. I really do.
I believe it, Dylan. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And always, if you want me on that show, man, just let me know, man.
I do. We'll do another one. We'll do maybe we'll do like a full Q&A and people can just ask questions.
There
we'll
you go.
Knock
maybe
them
we'll
down.
Do one after the Olympia. Maybe we'll have something to talk about.
Let's do it. Okay. Maybe we'll do a wrap up or some shit.
Exactly.
Okay, man.
All right, brother. Good. Take care, my man. Be safe.
We'll talk soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, brother, bye-bye.